church. God is good, right? Walked out the house this morning, it was like 80 degrees. I was like, man, summer's coming quick, right? Let's stand up to our feet. Worship your name, Lord. Let's open our Bibles up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. From verse 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 6 through 8. And in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. You may be seated, church. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we give you glory and honor for this word. I thank you for this word, Lord. I pray that it may be you, Lord, that ministers and talks to your people this morning, Lord. It may be you, Lord, that goes out and does what your word is sent to do, Lord, to build, restore, to edify in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, right? Today's theme, and I know Minor always gets me for this. He's texting me on Fridays, what's the theme? I was like, Minor, it's not there yet, but the theme for today is spiritual champion. A spiritual champion, right? And if I know Minor a little pretty well, he would have probably put somebody running a race, finishing the crossing line, right? A spiritual champion is what Paul was. A spiritual champion of all champions is what the Apostle Paul was. Paul's writing to Timothy, his last letter. He understands that his ministry is coming to an end. And he's writing to Timothy, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. He sounds so satisfied. He sounds so happy with the results of his life. He sounds happy. I mean, you ever seen people on their deathbed? Sometimes, you know, they're not so happy. Paul sounds happy. He's happy with the outcome. He's happy with how life has how he has lived his life for Christ and the results and the outcome of it. He's happy. So he's writing to Paul. Paul was a great man of God. To me, he's a spiritual champion, right? But let's rewind a little bit in his ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he's talking a little bit about something similar to what he's writing to Timothy, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, read like this. It says, do you not know that all in a race, that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the price. Paul here is making an analogy, and he's comparing a champion, an athlete, and he's comparing it to a spiritual champion. An athlete, how many like sports? Yankees are in first place, just by the way. First place, yeah, right? How many like sports? When you see an athlete that goes into training, all he has in his mind is to win. It's to dominate the sport or to dominate the event to become a champion, to be in first place. I mean, I always remember playing basketball. I don't like to lose. it's just we could be playing here in the gym. I don't want to lose, right? Nobody likes to lose, right? So Paul's saying an athlete disciplines his body. An athlete eats well, sleeps well, goes to the gym, trains and trains and disciplines his body. Because what's in his mind? What's in his mind is only one thing, is being number one. You never seen an athlete that likes to lose. You never seen an athlete that likes to come in second, third. When you see the Olympic Games, only one person takes the gold medal. Then comes the silver, then comes the bronze. If you ask those guys, they'll probably tell you, I wish I had the gold medal. Right? But look at the conversation. Look at what Paul is telling the Corinthian church, and look at what he's telling Timothy. He's saying, I fought the good fight, Timothy. I finished the race. But look what he's telling the Corinthian church. It sounds similar. He says, I run. What does he say? I run in such way as to get the prize. So when you look at what I just read in Corinthians, he says in verse 25, everyone who competes goes into strict training. There's something similar. He's telling Timothy, listen, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I'm done. I'm happy. I'm content. I did everything that God wanted me to do. I have no regrets with my life. Oh, you know, living with regrets is bad. Most people will tell you, I'd rather fail than live with regrets. I'd rather take a chance and not succeed than live with a regret. You don't want to live with regrets. Paul's saying, I'm not going to live with regrets. He's saying the athlete is focused and disciplined on becoming a champion, a victor, number one. But we also in training. Yep. What you're going through right now, it's a training session. What you're going through right now, it's destined to make you a champion if you let it. What you're going through right now has an outcome of a spiritual champion if you allow God to do the work in your life. We are in training as a children of God to become, what does he say to the Corinthians? They run to receive a crown that's corruptible, that will perish, but we run to receive an incorruptible crown. We are in this walk to receive a crown that will last forever, a crown that only Jesus can give you, a crown that no man can purchase with no amount of money. The rich can't even buy this crown. But a spiritual man and a spiritual woman of God is fighting this race, walking this race day by day with one thing in mind. The athlete, he's saying, well, I need this gold medal. The Christian is saying, I got to run with one thing in mind always. I can never forget this. Because the minute I forget this, I start to slack off. What's my goal? Oh, eternity. What am I running for? The blessed hope. What am I running for? That one day, the Bible says, in the blink of an eye, we will meet Jesus in the air. What am I running for? Hey, if I get sick and the doctor says I have cancer or I have an illness, a terminal illness, I'm still got to run. I still got to persevere. Because there's something in mind that no matter what happens and no matter what people tell you, you got to keep it in your mind. Eternity. You got to keep it in your mind. I'm gonna be with Jesus in paradise. This will all pass away. I got to keep it focused. I got to be focused, church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
A spiritual champion is known as a woman of God. A spiritual champion is known as a man of God. Is a man and a woman that no matter what comes their way, no matter what they tell you, no matter what trials knock on your door, you're not going to move. You're not going to be shaken by them. You're not going to crumble into pieces. A man and a woman of God stay standing firm with their hope and faith in Jesus at all times. A spiritual champion is feared by the dark forces of this age. You know, when Michael Jordan stepped on the court, they said, man, we just going to lose. We're going to lose. 91, 92, 93, 96, 97, 98. Then he left people without championships because they knew that he was a champion. And when he stepped in that court, they were going to win. But what happens when you walk in that house? How does the enemy view you? How does the enemy view you when you go visit the sick? How does the enemy view you when you bend your knees and you start to pray? How does the enemy look at you when you're helping someone get to know who Jesus is? How does he look at you? Is he feared by you? Is he feared by the time you open your scriptures and you start to worship? Is he scared of you? Yes, because a spiritual champion brings fear to the dark forces of this age. The question is, how do I become that? How do I become a spiritual champion? I thank God because his word ministers to us first. We got to get tired of being mediocre people. We got to get tired of being mediocre, of the routine. But the only one who can bring that type of breakthrough in the believer is Jesus. The only one that can bring that type of breakthrough through the believer is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How do I become a spiritual champion? The first point I want to share with you this morning. Make a conscious decision to live a godly life. Make a conscious decision to live a godly life. It got to come from you. It got to come from your heart. It got to come from your mind. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to stop the nonsense, and I'm going to live for Jesus no matter what happens. You got to take a stand. Make a conscious decision to live a godly life. Ephesians 1:13 says this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard this message, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise, the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise, the Holy Spirit. You know what today is? It's not just Sunday. It's not just nice and hot outside. It's the day of salvation. You know what today is? The day of reconciliation. You know what today is? Today's the day that the Lord has prepared for you. Today is the day that you become sealed, that you refresh your walk with Christ. Today's the day where you take a stand and live for Christ for the rest of your days. Today is the day that the Lord has made. You know what's so beautiful? That when we come to the family of Christ, we have been entrusted with the most important relationship you will ever have in your life. You have been entrusted with the most important relationship you ever have in your life. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The third person of the Trinity, the Godhead, the three in one, the one in three. The one when God said in the book of Genesis, let us create man. Oh, who is he talking about there? Who he saw? He said, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, we got to get this going. Let us, the Godhead, the Trinity, create man. He has entrusted you today with the most important relationship you will ever have. What is that? What is the most important relationship? Yeah, listen, your wife and your children are important. But is God, family, then church? Because I love God, because he has saved me. He has entrusted me with his presence. It's the most valuable thing that he has given me. And because he has entrusted me with his presence, I got to do everything in my will to protect this relationship. Oh, man. Yeah. I would like to see a father walk with his kids and someone do something to his little kids. I would like to walk down the street with my son and somebody just push him on the floor and see if he won't have a problem. Because that's my son. What will you do for your kids? You, man, if I go around, they'll be like, man, we're going to, for my kids, okay. What about for the Lord? The most precious relationship that he's entrusted to you. Well, you got to guard it. You got to protect it. You got to guard this relationship with your life. Because if you want to be a godly man, you got to guard the relationship. Because only him is going to help you become that person that God's called you to be. I got to guard this. I got to guard my relationship. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's my best friend. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you alone. He's been the only comfort I've had at times in my life. I got to guard this relationship. Listen, if our friendship is going to cause me to jeopardize my relationship with the Lord, then I'm going to choose him. You got to go. Oh, if going to this party is going to jeopardize my relationship, it's going to hurt my relationship, then sorry, man, I can't go to your party. Oh, if dating this relationship is going to hurt me, oh, listen, we're not married yet. But if it's going to hurt me, then you're just going to have to pray that God opens the door so we could get married. Listen, I got to preach the truth because the relationship is so important, you got to do anything to protect it. You got to do it. You got to protect it with fear and trembling. You got to put it out there and say, nope. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's my friend, my brother. You know what the Bible says? That Jesus is my big brother. I got to protect this relationship. Sin got to go. Whatever it is that's penetrating into your relationship with Jesus, it has to go. Why? Because sin wants to break that relationship apart. Sin wants to come in the way and just put a wedge in that relationship. Man, but he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. How can I just let any type of sin destroy what God is trying to do in my life? Oh, you got to protect it. Don't make me choose. You got to look at people sometimes. Well, you know what? Even in your job, in school, wherever it is, you got to look at people and say, don't make me choose. Don't, because if I got to choose, you got to go. If I got to choose, then you just can't be here. Why? Because your relationship is precious.
Your relationship with Jesus is everything.
Hallelujah. Oh, man. Sin will try to break that relationship. It will try to distance you away from the Creator. It will distance you away where you start to feel lonely and oppressed. It will distance you away where you just don't know what to do and who to call. Protect it. Protect it like it's all you got. Because it is all you got. It is all I have. Oh, man. When I think about the times Jesus never left me, when I think about the times that I was so messed up and I couldn't pick up the phone to call somebody, Jesus showed up. I'm going to protect this with everything I got. He lives inside of me. So I got to protect it. If seeing it messes up my relationship, then it's not good for me to see it. If hearing it messes up my relationship, then it's not good for me to hear it. Can I preach in here? If going there messes up my relationship, then I shouldn't go there. I'd rather be an enemy of the world, but be a friend of Jesus. Because Jesus never lost a fight, and he will never lose a fight. So what happens, right? The Holy Spirit lives in me. It's the most entrusted relationship that I have. What else should I do to become a spiritual champion? I got to develop some spiritual habits. I got to develop some spiritual habits. Simple ones. I got to read my Bible every day. I got to pick up this Bible every day. Even if it's in the train, I got to open it up. I got to talk to the Lord every day. Well, you just don't understand. I come home so tired. And I sit there and I feed the kids and I sit in the sofa. This is me sometimes. I sit in the sofa and I close my eyes and I'm out. Well, then I got to switch it up. Then I got to give God my best in the middle of the day. Well, if I got to take my lunch hour to worship God in a corner somewhere by myself, then that's what I'm going to do. Because these are some habits that I have to develop daily. Because when it becomes a habit, it's going to come natural to you. You're going to open up your Bible. You're going to pray. You're going to fast. You see, some people, fasting sometimes is like, man, the bacon and eggs, I got to put that to the side. Huh? You know, the coffee, light and sweet, I got to put that to the side. Guess what? If you start doing it little by little, one day here, one day there, you become disciplined in your walk with Christ. You will never see a spiritual champion that is not disciplined in his spiritual habits. You will never see a spiritual champion that doesn't read the Bible. You will never see a spiritual champion that doesn't pray. But when you develop these habits, it puts you in route to become a man and a woman of God. I got to read my Bible. Listen, I'll call you later. We'll call you later. We'll talk later because I got to talk to the Lord. Spiritual habits, reading the Bible, praying, fasting. These habits will help you live a godly lifestyle and will empower you for service. It's not just only going to help you be a good man, a good woman. It's going to empower you to serve in the kingdom. Timothy, I have fought the good fight. The second point I want to show you today is make a conscious decision to share the gospel. Make a conscious decision to live a godly lifestyle, develop your spiritual habits, but make a conscious decision to share the gospel all the time, everywhere and anywhere. Paul tells Timothy, be ready in season and out of season. Preach, talk, share the gospel. When we look at Paul, that was his passion. That's what he wanted to do. Everywhere Paul went, he shared the gospel
of Jesus Christ. Every city he went to, the gospel has reached the city of Ephesus, the city of Corinth. The gospel has reached the city of Philippi. The gospel has reached the city of Asia. The gospel has transformed people, has built leaders. The gospel has to be shared. It has to be moved forward. The gospel was just preached. Everywhere Paul went, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, I become a Jew to the Jews. This is Paul saying. I become a Gentile to the Gentiles. I become whatever I need to become so someone else can be saved. Oh, man. Oh. He was so not into himself that all he did was preach the gospel. He put his life to the side because he knew the gospel was more important than him being happy. Oh, man. What is it that you got to sacrifice? What is it that you got to do? It's not about me. It's about the gospel. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about the hurting. It's about the wounded. It's about the lost. It's about the rejected. It's about the kids out in the corner selling drugs that don't have no hope. It's about the prostitute in the corner who doesn't have a father but has lived a lifestyle that people reject. It's about them. It's about the people outside of the church walls. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard about him? Who? Jesus. It's about the gospel. What's the definition of the gospel? It's Jesus' teachings and revelation of scripture. It's about the gospel. Have you ever heard of him? Do you remember when your marriage was on the rocks and Jesus stepped in? You've heard of him. You remember when he just walked out and left you with the kids and you didn't know what was going to happen, but Jesus stepped in? Yeah, you heard of him. Do you remember the times you were in need and you couldn't find refuge from anywhere and Jesus stepped in? Yeah, you've heard of him. He is why we stand here today. He is why the church exists. He is why we shall all preach the gospel. Jesus says, preach my word. Talk to the lost. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Don't be scared to talk about Jesus. Don't be scared to walk in work and just say, God bless you to someone. Don't be scared to walk at work and say, well, why are you so happy today? Man, God is good. That's why I'm happy. Well, you didn't get paid that much. It doesn't matter. God is still good. Oh, you got to, because you see, the internal joy of the gospel is going to come out no matter what. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It's going to come out. And guess what? You got to share it because people are going to see Christ in you. And what are you going to do when they see Jesus in you? You got to share it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the only thing that will still be here after you and I are gone. I can't be scared to talk about Jesus. If I got to choose, I'm going to choose Jesus. If it's going to cost me something, then let it cost me something. But Jesus has been good to me. He's been good to you. Hallelujah. But you know, you share the gospel, you know, be careful about talking too much about Jesus. Be careful, because the enemy don't like that. The enemy gets upset when you talk about Jesus. So what he'll do? He'll start to accuse you. What did he do to Job? He went all the way up to the throne and said, look at your servant. He worships you because you got him all protected. He'll start to accuse. He says, well, take the protection away. I bet you he'll curse you. And God says, well, we're going to see about this. That's what he does. He will tell you, don't talk about Jesus, because people will leave you. Don't talk about Jesus, because you ain't going to have no friends. Don't share, because then he's going to remind you of your current circumstances. Hey, how could you be in church and your kids be out there in the streets? He's going to remind you, if you talk about Jesus, he's going to accuse you. How could you be worshiping the Lord and your family is in shambles? He's going to accuse you. He's going to remind you. How could you come into church and lift your hands to a mighty God and live and have your family members in such distress and broken down? He's going to accuse you. The power he has, though, is limited. That's enough for me to shout. He has limited power. I'll show you. Matthew 16, 19. Jesus telling the disciples, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's giving you all authority to tell the enemy he has no parts of you, your family, your church, your neighborhood. Oh, man. You see, you got to step into the spiritual realm and call what's not seen and bring it out. Oh, you got to look into the spiritual realm and say, nope, my son is coming to Jesus. He's still out there in the streets, but I can see him coming to Jesus. Nope. You got to walk in the spirit. This is how you're going to become a spiritual champion. Hallelujah. This fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities, the rulers of this dark age. That's what Ephesians 6 says. It's not a physical fight, it's a spiritual fight. And because it's spiritual, I got to get spiritual. I got to read my scripture. I got to pray to the King of Kings. Oh, man. He's given me all authority to tell the enemy he has no part of my life. Because I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. Sometimes you got to walk in. And those that were in class on Friday, we talked about this. Sometimes you got to walk into your room and the kids are sleeping. Pull out the anointing oil. If you don't have one, go to the corner store, get a bottle of Goya. We and the pastors here are going to pray for you. We're going to pray for the oil. You got to put your fingers in there. And you got to anoint that man of God. He might not be in church yet, but nope. Because I see it in the spirit. He's coming to church. In the name of Jesus. You got to anoint your kids and say, well, this is happening to my kids. But I'm going to walk in this room right now. No weapon formed against my kids shall prosper. You got to dip your finger in the oil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You gotta get in the spirit so the enemy can know, I got a problem with this Christian. I got a problem with him. You see where I'm going with this. A spiritual champion makes a decision to live a godly life, but a spiritual champion also makes the decision to share the gospel. I gotta live godly, and I gotta share the gospel. I got to walk in humility and share the gospel. I got to walk humble and share the gospel. Everywhere I go, there's an opportunity for someone to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who died and resurrected on the third day. Hallelujah. Point number three, the most important point to me. A spiritual champion stays the course. A spiritual champion stays the course. Paul said, I've been thrown into prison numerous times because of the gospel. I've been tortured numerous times because of the gospel. I've been stoned almost to death because of the gospel. I remember I was shipwrecked and almost died at sea. I remember coming off the boat and being bit by a venomous snake. So many things have happened to you. But you're still here this morning. You've been through some rough times. You shed a lot of tears. But you stayed the course. It's important to stay the course. Because when people discourage us and people hurt our feelings, and sometimes we forget that this fight is not against flesh and blood, and we become angry at people, and we become bitter at people, and it's not against the people, it's against the rulers of this dark age. He wants you to think it's the people so he can get you off course. He wants you to think it's the people so he can steer you a different direction. But Jesus is telling you this morning, if you stay the course, there's a crown that awaits my people. If you stay the course, no matter what happens, there's an incorruptible crown that the King of Kings will give you. Oh, man. Oh, don't fall off the course. I don't know what you've been through, but don't fall off the course. Hallelujah. I got to stay here in church with my church family and worship, go to my Bible classes. Oh, man. You see, it's important. This is why we call the community, right? Because when the enemy wants us to steer us off course, my church family comes in. Oh, yeah. I get my church brother, hey, I ain't see you in church yesterday. You okay? Yes, this is why we're the community. We got to keep each other in the same course, in the same track, in the same race. Because in here, we're not competing against each other. In here, we all competing to get to heaven, baby. In here, we all have the same goal and the same prize awaits all of us. So when I'm walking by and I see my brother and sister messed up, hey, you okay? Yeah, come on. Come on. You ever seen a soldier in battle leave his comrades there to die? No? You took two bullets, buddy. Come on. I'm going to pick you up and we're going to get there. We do it together. I don't know what you've been through, but stay the course. I don't know what you're going through, but stay on track. You want to be a spiritual champion? Stay on track. Because he's a way maker. That's right. You got to tell yourself that. You know, we sing it here on worship on Sundays. I got to stay the course. It's been tough for me. It's been tough for my family. We've shed a lot of tears. But I got to stay on track. Because he's a way maker. A miracle worker. That's what the song says, right? A promise keeper. I got to stay the course. Hallelujah. And sometimes in the dark, when there's no one around, we got to sing that to ourselves. We got to do it for church, but do it for yourself first. He's a way maker. And you got to say it. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Oh, when I don't see it, he's working. That's what the song says, right? When I can't believe it, he's working. This is what Jesus is doing. You don't see it, he's working on your behalf. What are you going through today? Hallelujah. Timothy, I need you to understand this. I fought the good fight. You can get ready to stand on your feet, church. Hallelujah. I fought the good fight. Timothy, I did my best to live a godly life. Hallelujah. I did my best to keep my spiritual disciplines, Timothy. Oh, man. Timothy, I have finished the race. I have shared the gospel, and I have finished my earthly mission, Timothy. Timothy, I have kept the faith. Under all circumstances of life, I stayed the course.
Waymaker. Hey, listen, let's get the worship team up here. You know what? You got to tell yourself, I'm not a singer. I only sing in the shower to myself. This isn't the, but I need you to understand something with this. That God will never fail. That earthly possessions and earthly achievements are good. To be a champion is good. Everybody wants to be a champion. But to be a spiritual champion is better. It's priceless. It's incorruptible. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, close your eyes, church. Hallelujah. Move in this house. I need you. I need you. I need you, Lord. Without you, I wouldn't be here, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With all heads bowed, as a worship team gets ready to sing, He is making a way for you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. It's going to be okay. Your family is going to come out of this. Hallelujah. Father Lord, as the worship team gets ready, the altar is open. If you need prayer to apply this word, the pastors are here. If you need to reconcile with the Lord, the pastors are here. If you need strength and wisdom and courage, the Lord is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.